This is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today we have a special treat. Mary Ann Kennedy is joining me as my co-host, and we'll be visiting with Eitan Beth-Alokmi and his wife, Debbie, the founders of one of the country's fastest-growing disciplines, cowboy dressage. Today's show is made possible by the support of our great sponsors that are found at the General Store and the gallery at East of Santa Fe at our website, equestrianlegacy.net. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the gallery at East of Santa Fe and in the General Store at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Eitan and Debbie Beth-Alokmi.
That I ever said, visions of galloping in my head, mane slow and tail held high. I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride like a bird.
Welcome to the show as my co-host today.
Helping me.
Good to have you on the show today, Mary Ann.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here with my friends and you, my friend.
Well, thank you. And I feel like this is a gathering of friends. Welcome to the show, Debbie and Eight. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. You know, I'm really glad to be with you guys again. I can't even remember how long ago was it when we did the last show. But, you know, when you called it a gathering, I felt very comfortable because that's what we try to do, you know, with Cabo Dressage, going a little bit back through our, how shall I say it, our diapers period and try something to do. I always kind of thought that one day we're going to look at Cabo Dressage and really have a good feeling about it, because it's more about the gathering of people together rather than become a competition thing. I think the competition is really nice and good, but what really bonds us together is our love to the horse. And I think that's really what we're all about.
Yay, yes.
Well, it is, and I took that gathering from a conversation that we had, and by the way, that was back in October. It seems like time flies, and
wow.
Yeah, almost 9 months ago. But a lot of things have been happening in the world of cowboy dressage, and because we have some listeners that may be new to the program, they may not be as familiar with what cowboy dressage is. Debbie or Aide, either one of you, kind of bring us up to date on what cowboy dressage is and how it may be different from classical dressage or another type of organization.
Well, cowboy dressage is really a discipline that was developed specifically for the Western horse. It is judged on a jog and a lope instead of a trot and a canter. It is for Western horses built with Western or working or stock horse type conformation, although any breed is welcome. That we are not looking specifically for a dressage horse with big movement. This is about the American West and horses that were developed here to do specific jobs. And it's about traditional Western horses. And we took dressage principles and basics to help build a better Western horse, not create a dressage horse with a Western saddle. There's a big difference. And so we developed tests in a competition format very similar to dressage tests. We made a 20 by 40 meter court and divided it into 5 meter
increments.
To make it user-friendly so that when you do a 10 and 20-meter circle, you have a perfect grid to ride them on. It's also the 20 by 40-meter court is shorter than the 20 by 60-meter court because we felt that no Western horse needs to jog for 60 meters. It suits the movements of the Western horse. And a lot of the maneuvers within the tests are built around Western maneuvers. But they are still judged on cadence and balance and carriage and similar to dressage and a similar scoring system. One of the things that we do that nobody else is doing is we have a specific score on soft feel or partnership. In dressage, I believe the coefficient is 2. That means if you get a score, the score is between 1 and 10. And if you get a score of 7, you get 14%. And what we did is we increased that to a times 3 because we really mean what we say about soft feel being the biggest part of cowboy dressage. We ride with less contact. Now, that doesn't mean a draped rein, but it means a forgiving and rewarding rein. And so the judge judges you on the partnership and the softness with which you ride. And with a coefficient of 3, you can outscore somebody with better maneuvers that isn't quite as soft. So we really reward the soft rider. And it's more about the lifestyle, too. the Western lifestyle besides just showing. And that's the short version, so I better stop.
Well, that's a pretty good version right there. And you have a saying that I think is pretty neat, and I may not get this correct, but it's when dressage suits your needs, but a Stetson fits your lifestyle. Is that pretty close?
That's right on.
That's right on. And you know, right. You know, Gary, I kind of tried to pick up words from what you guys say, and I got the gathering from you, and I got the tradition from Debbie, and I just want to kind of point out that, you know, dressage is really either a German or a French tradition. It's not really something that belonged to us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we all start looking into that way or the more sophisticated way of training, and that's really what dressage is all about, is adding a little bit more than what we normally Western people can put ourselves through, we really find out that it's nice to have an American tradition. And what is a tradition if it's not just a good idea that somebody started and people likes it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you like it, I like it, and then a couple more hundred people liking it, and then it's become a tradition.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say that I think that in 100 years from now, we can all go back and say, well, you know, we were the pioneers in a new tradition that called cabot dressage.
Well, that I think, and we're going to talk about how fast it's spreading and some of those things, but let me ask this, and by the way, Mary Ann, you're co-host, so you can chime in whenever you'd like to on this, but who was involved with you in helping to develop the cowboy dressage?
Well, I think that's you and Mary Ann and the thousand other people who got involved, and really those are the helpers. That's the grassroots, you know, that we are really try to to really bring them up and make them a big part of what we're doing. And I want to tell you that in the competition aspect of it, we probably have a year and a half behind us that we just started it. And we have almost, over 5,000 members. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And our members are really not being charged by no fee. They are not really obligated to do anything beside what we call the cabot dressage handshake. And the cabot dressage handshake is about the try. It's about the lifestyle. It's about the kindness. It's about you give your word to be nice to your horse, and so is nice to your neighbor, and it's make you a member.
Right, right. Well, you know, I went back and listened to our previous show, and it's kind of interesting because I think, Debbie, you kind of created this handshake. But at that time, I think you had about 2,000 members, and now you're at over 5,000. That's tremendous growth.
You know, the 5,000 we have, it's more like a household than individual members.
Right.
So it's really the numbers are going really way, way behind it. But Gary, we are not really about the numbers. I think that we, like you said, the things spread around. And in a way, sometimes it's kind of scary because you know that you feel responsible to fulfill every need of every one of those members bring up to the surface. And I tell you what, that's a 24/7 every day sitting and try to make it work. And it's not only United States, you know, it's Australia and New Zealand and Britain and Germany, and I can keep going like that forever.
Right.
And it's never stopped. It's just a runaway train.
Well, what do you think is what do you think the cause is, the reason that cowboy dressage has just kind of taken off like wildfire across the country and across the world?
Yeah, it's because we have a good product.
Well, you got that.
I agree, and I will interject something here, just as you know, one of the folks out here who has been a part. I've been a part of this whole natural horsemanship movement for so long, and you know, I think the timing of the marriage of these principles and this intention, which is of the highest good for the horse, the relationship first. And then it, from there, I mean, that's a perfect marriage to so many people around the world who have been looking for the answers to be better horsemen through the quote, for, you know, lack of a better term, the natural horsemanship movement. That was the intention with many and most of those guys. So now, beyond going to the clinics and learning your stuff, this is another level of gathering and another level of camaraderie based on the principles of that, the relationship first, the soft feel. This isn't about force. This isn't about winning. It's about the horse wins. And that's why I think it's just so timely and it's such a beautiful movement. That's my opinion.
It's hard not to want to be a part of that, I think. And I would have to agree that that has been one of the big points that draws
that
people to us.
That Cabo Dressage allow the good in people and horses to shine through. People know that there's something for them, and they take their responsibility very seriously. It is ideal. It's approach to horsemanship and partnership. It's not about the money or about the high-end horse. It's about kindness and the love of each.
Well, you have, I think you have developed a community of people that kind of share the same passion, and a lot of it goes back a little bit to what Mary Ann was saying, but also goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Debbie, about the soft feel. And what is that? Talk a little bit about what that soft feel is. How does that apply to the dressage, cowboy dressage?
Well, I think that when you talk to each person involved in cowboy dressage and ask them what soft feel means to them, they're going to all give you a different answer. What I say about soft feel and what Ape says about soft feel might be two different things. But we're all getting to the same place. So for me, soft feel is what allows that relationship where I can send the horse a message, but then I can feel him send it back. That's really important. A lot of people can send a message, but not everyone feels the horse sending it back. So that relationship through my seat, my hands, my partnership, our personalities, my balance, everything.
It's really interesting because
everything is soft feel.
Yeah,
it's not about a loose rein. It's about a spiritual connection that works.
And here's my 5 cents with. Good. I think that a lot of people confuse soft feel with loose rein. To me, soft feel is not about your hands. It's messages that you send from your heart. It's something that we cannot teach. Each one of us need to experience that and come to his own. I always say that, you know, you can teach the craft of horsemanship. But the art is something that you really have to come from the inside of a human being. And that's
right.
The relationship that you have between a horse and his rider. So soft feel is a term that I think whoever started it, it probably go back to the Dorans or Ray Hunt, one of those guys came up with soft feel because they couldn't speak good English. So they came up with soft feel and it's got stuck, you know. And there is no translation to it besides it's the out there somewhere that each one of us try to reach and grab it. And when we grab it, we know what it is because there is nothing like it.
I think it's hard to define, but when you experience it, it's very clear.
I like to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to say, you know, to quote myself, the song... called Heart in Your Hands. That's the essence of that song. And it is about It is about sending that love of your heart in your hands through the reins and through their whole body, through the intention of, I'm holding you, baby. I'm not forcing you to be in a frame. And so that's why I was always so anti-competition my whole life. And, you know, I'm an amateur horseman, student of the horse till I die, professional musician. And I had so much competition and, you know, the rule following and the practice and really developing my craft in my profession in music, that with my horses, it always was more about the bliss, about the love, about the heart, and about developing my horsemanship to become better and better for my horse over and over, not thinking I will arrive someday. And again, I think the marriage of all that is so, that's quintessential cowboy dressage. That's what it's about. And that's one thing that to some of my, quote, dressage friends, they're like, well, what's the difference? You know, you're doing the same thing we are. It's like, nah, the intention is different.
Right, right. And, you know, Gary, when we say cowboy dressage is on fire, we are not really kidding. We have now, beside the gathering and show, we have a gathering and just try to get people involved in the lifestyle of the cowboy by engaging them in like a 3 days event that we do. One day mm-hmm. is a clinic, meaning education. The second day is a competition, and you compete with yourself, against yourself, not against anybody else. And the third day, you just go on a trail ride. So that's one of the events that we are promoting, and we try to get more and more that kind of activities. But when you go back to even the competition itself, I want to tell you that the numbers that we get, the numbers of people who are coming to ride at our show is huge, is tremendous. It's 300 to 500 rides.
That's oh, wow.
unheard any dressage discipline. Okay?
That's great.
And they're still coming. And I want to tell you that if we started it with a very small kind of a basic training, dressage training to the Western horse, now we have gated horses. We have vaquero style of competition. We have what we call a partnership on the ground. That's for really designed for amateur and youth to get a really comfortable with going to the court on foot rather than ride it and have a feel for it. Now, we add another one, another division, that it's a cowboy dressage made for Mustangs.
And wow.
We having a high point in every show, okay, to the high score Mustang horse. And then we have a high score, a cancer survival. And we have a 4-H now coming involved. I can keep going like that forever. It's taking huge steps. And we kind of feel that we are really supporting it, but we sure need help. And the help will come from people that will take responsibility and lead the rest of us into the direction that we want to go. And I just want to mention three names because they deserve it. We have three people here in California. It's Lynn, Ring, Rosmo, Garn Walker, and Sarah that really were with us from the beginning. And I want to tell you that without them, we probably never got where we are today. So I just thought I should give them a little kudos here.
Well, that's great. I tell you, I want to talk a little bit. We want to take a break. I don't know. I've got to do this song and give everybody a chance to collect themselves for just a second. I can't talk with you and have Mary Ann part of the show without doing Palomino, because it just seems like that's right.
That song puts me and Mary Ann on a top.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the things that you do with cowboy dressage that are different. One of the things is the welcome ring that I want to talk about. But we're talking with Debbie and Etan Bethalakmi, and my co-host today is the multi-talented Marianne Kennedy. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment. Some of the YouTube video I've seen, eight, with you doing freestyle on that golden palomino. And, what a picture. What absolute beautiful picture.
We have a second golden palomino that Etan is writing now, just so we can keep using that song because we like it so much.
I don't know about that, but it's an honor. I just got to sing it live with eight writing the new palomino out at Light Hands 6 weeks ago, and goosebumps just for me to be able to watch a horseman like you, Abe, ride that beautiful animal to my song. It'll never ever not be one of the biggest honors of my lifetime. So thank you.
You well, know, and nobody around, I can sing that too.
One day
we'll have to have you do that, but not today.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's talk about. I think one of the things that makes Cowboy Dressage different, and that goes back to the feeling of community. When folks come and participate in some of these events, you really are doing a lot of things to help people get started. And one of the challenges that I think we see in most of the horse disciplines today is the involvement of young people becoming involved and then staying involved. Let's talk about the welcome ring just a little bit and what the purpose was in creating that.
One day I was sitting and thinking to myself, what do we offer people that have $100, $100 to spend? They work 8 to 5, 5 days a week. They may be able to get out and ride for a lesson or two, or they're doing this for their children. And they got to work really hard for that extra $100 to spend. What does Cowboy Dressage offer them at our show level? And we offered them nothing that they could afford to do. And I didn't feel that was right. And so we talked as a group and came up with the welcome ring. And what the welcome ring is a place for people to come. It is more affordable. It is half the price of the regular classes. You're still at a great, very fancy facility. You get to watch very accomplished riders. And but you can trailer in. You don't have the huge expenses. And it's usually on Sunday, so that you come in on Sunday, and we have a ring set up just for you. And we use our learner judges and our learner scribes, and then we supply a caller for you to call your tests and help you. And then we supply coaches that are right there, and these are also learner judges and that are the coaches, and they coach you and help you. So when you come to our welcome ring, you get a coach, you get a caller, you get judged, you get comments, and you'll get a score. And you can do this, you can ride in 4 classes and do all this at a grand facility with really talented professionals there for, I think it's $105.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. But one of the big things is that, you know, people are actually receiving some instruction while they're able to be participating in this event.
Education is the key. You know, giving people a place to show. If they're showing badly, you're not making things better.
Right.
And so try to help them along. In fact, at every show that we produce as Cowboy Dressage World, we call it, there are free clinics. Every single one, at least 2 hours of free clinics at every single show for education.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you've got the, and you were talking about some of the different things that you're sponsoring and supporting, like the breast cancer awareness. You also are involved in Horses for Heroes. You're getting involved in some different things that you're making available for people for high points and bringing awareness to some great causes while you're doing that. excuse me. But again, you go back to a feeling of community. I think that, and I believe I didn't dream this, you had a group of young people that came to compete. They had never even looked at the court, the patterns,
yeah.
And rather than... tell us about that, Debbie.
Well, we have a couple of those instances, and I think... when you asked us earlier about what's driving our numbers, why people really like Cowboy Dressage, and I think some of these examples will give you an idea of who we are and what we're trying to represent and why people are attracted to it. And I'll try to make them quick here. We had 2 young people show up, and good hands, good riders, but they drove 4 hours just to come show Cowboy Dressage, but they'd never looked at the court. They'd never looked at the test. They were vaquero horsemen and women, very good, but they arrived totally unprepared. The gentleman, the young man went to ride the test. It was a disaster.
Oh, wow.
So Ace Barn stopped the test with the judges in agreement, and they turned the test into a lesson and made it a positive experience. Instead of just zeroing him and embarrassing him, they
right.
stopped him. They took it upon themselves to help him. So his he had a 7-minute lesson, and then he had to promise the next time he came back he would be prepared. And so did the girl. And when they came back, the girl came back, and she won a high point buckle at Golden Grand 2 months later, 2.5 months later. So that's things. We had a young boy come in, special needs in the on the ground classes. And they asked if he could have someone go in with him. And we go, well, of course he can. You know, they can't coach him, but they can be there if there's a problem to help him.
Right.
Because we make rules, we can change them. And it was for the better of the child and for Cowboy Dressage, so we did it. Another instance was we had a mule competing, walked into the center line, and was not going to go further. She saw the judge and it just wasn't going to happen. So the judge got down, walked to the mule, gave her a peppermint, and walked her back up to the judge's stand, got back up there and told the rider to now ride your test.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
Wow.
Okay,
wow.
So those are a few of the instances. During our schooling and our regular shows, we promote that. If we see you having trouble in the warm-up ring, if you want our help, we help you. This is the philosophy we have, and it's a lot of work to follow through on it. But we do it. When you get up into our finals show, where the competition gets a little bit stiffer and we've got big awards, we don't have that much flexibility. But outside of that, that's what you should be seeing across the country. There's a lot of helping hands.
And
well,
another thing is, another thing, the rules. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a rule person. I'm kind of write my own rules in so many different ways, and so I can have I have a right perspective about how many rules we can really follow and still stay insane, because you know, more rules we ride, more people try to find a way to go the other way.
Right.
So what we decide is rather than have 7,000 pages of rules, we just go and have a one page that written by a horse rather than a human being. And what the horse will probably put down, he doesn't care how long the bit is. He doesn't care if your whip is 48 inches. He doesn't care about a million little things that we need to write rules about. What he cares about is that he wants the rider to be nice to him. That's
right.
All what he does. So look at Cabo Dressage rule book is a one page which say, be nice. That's it. And I think that
I love it.
When you have that kind of a way to look at competition, no surprise that we got so many followers and the thing is just running away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can come up with stories like that guy who need help. I just got an email from somebody who wonder if our rule can really say that when a rider come to the ring, can he have a body horse on the other side of the ring, because you know that they come separated, they don't come in a group, and you know horses, they have a hard time to single somebody out and go all by themselves. So we allow for horses to be on the other side of the arena so he can be comfortable, okay, to walk in and do the test. And,
oh, wow.
And you know, I always say it's about common sense, okay. Don't get to the point that you're going. Matter of fact, we do have some rules, but now we can close the book and say everything else that we're going head to head. It's not going to be new rules. It's going to be new guidelines. And I like that words, because guidelines is a lot more, I think, suit what we are doing rather than say rules are supposed to be that way. Guideline can be a little bit more whatever we can.
One of the things that we have seen in the last year and a half and what we hear from other states and groups that are putting on these shows is how hard every single person is trying out there to follow these principles. They are trying so hard to be kind. They are trying so hard to be soft. They are trying so hard to have that connection. And you can see them improve from one show to the other. You know, if it's not allowed in the test, it's not allowed in the warm-up ring. So there's not one set of principles for the warm-up ring and one set of principles where you compete. And I think that we maintain our standards no matter what. So you can't use a piece of equipment you shouldn't have in the test, in the warm-up ring, and then take it off. It's all the same.
That's great.
And it's this part's really important to me. So I want to be sure and get it in on this conversation, is that there are people who look at this as being so ideal, you know, how can it survive? And what are Eitan and I and Lynn and Garn and Sarah going to do to maintain this? And I said, we can't. The five of us cannot maintain the integrity of what happens hundreds of miles away.
Right.
It's up to you to maintain the integrity. It is up to you, and you pass it on to your children and your grandchildren and your friends. And you try to inspire those kind of ethics. It is your job, and we're handing it to you, our public, to carry forth and keep it the same body and wealth that we created originally. So it's your job.
How many states is Cowboy Dressage in now? Because, you know, I really appreciate the fact that when a new state has come on board, I'm getting an invitation to on Facebook to like their page, and it just seems like that's happening a lot. How many states now are there that are involved with the Cowboy Dressage?
How many states we have?
Well, we have 50.
So we got 49.
Are we in Tennessee? But I'm looking.
Only
I'm looking.
One we don't have it yet is Alaska, and we already been inquired by them, okay, to be involved. So I think that by the time we going end up today here with you, we probably going to have 50 states.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now let me ask this question. When we talk about these different states, are they chapters, or, you know, I'm in Tennessee. How would I get involved in Tennessee?
Well, we have what we call the Cowboy Dressage World, and the Cowboy Dressage World is a sister to Cowboy Dressage, and
okay.
One of the is that the Cowboy Dressage is a trademark by Deb and I. So everything else that we need to get involved, we need to make another step going someplace else. Cowboy Dressage World is responsible for all the 50 states and the world who are supplying information, supplying all the literature, all the education, everything that we want to spread around. And we're doing that through Facebook.
Okay.
We found out that Facebook is a great tool. It's free. People get involved with it. Matter of fact, I think it's addiction. I get up in the morning. Before I have my coffee, I go to my Facebook. So
I know.
I think that that's the way to do it. So when somebody's interested, okay, we are channeling into that state Facebook to get the information or get involved, and that's how we really running
the program. Just so you understand, when we started using Facebook for our social media marketing, and we had to learn as we went, and we started with maybe, 350 to 3,500 views on Facebook, and now we're running 100 to 300,000 people.
Oh wow!
Look,
wow.
Our Facebook page a week.
Wow.
Well, it's huge,
and that's how we can share with people in all parts of the world, and it's free. Because most people don't have the excess income to start up a new association. They
right.
don't have to, they just have to network through Facebook and share and develop from us.
Well, we have a great website too. And you know, it's probably worth to mention here that everything that we do is free. Really, I mean, we have all the diagram, the test, the information about the rules, about clothing, about everything that you want to do, and we supply everything is free. So we got a two-way to communicate with our, I don't know if we call them members, I call them friends, call them whatever we want to call them, people who are part of Cabo Dosage. And like I say, it's huge, it's big, and I think it's going to be bigger. If I want to make a prediction, I think that Cabo Dosage eventually is going to be the home for the Western Rider, period. Because
wow.
it's involved people from all kind of background, okay, who are really looking for so long for a home to come to. And when we look at the kids, at the amateur, that, you know, people that we lost in the last 5 years, and we lost them not because they don't love horses anymore, because it was too expensive, it was too much the ribbon and the money and all that stuff just took a lot of them out of what we're looking, what left over, okay, from whatever it is, and we really gave them a place to shine. And when you give them a place to shine, I want to tell you, Gary and Marianne, is that probably the average age that goes to our show is middle age,
mm-hmm.
middle class, and you can see the poor and you can see the rich, and we all sitting together and watching one another class. I can remember, I showed for a long time, and I can remember any time that I finished my class and I didn't go back to the barn and have lunch somewhere. People don't go anywhere. They stick around. They stick
right.
around all along, sitting on a fence and watching their friends, okay, getting whatever they can get to become a better rider and a better horse.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about some gatherings that are getting ready to come up, and one of those is in Colorado, in Nunn, Colorado, and I believe that's at the Esch Training Center, July 26th and 27th. And this
25, just to make sure that we get it. It starts on the evening of the 25th of July. And
okay.
It's going to be kind of a gathering and a symposium and knowing one another, and we're going to have some video play, some of them educational, some of them are entertainer, and I may sing, who knows. So that's be the 3 days that we're going to be in Colorado. You're right.
Okay.
And now you sing and I'll ride. That'll be quite a show. You sing and I'll ride. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is being called a power clinic. Talk to us about what that is, what people will be seeing, and what will be going on there.
We call it a power clinic because it's not just Eitan that is going to be there. It's going to be his other two partners, Lynn Ringrose Moe and Garn Walker, who were fabulous horse people, instrumental in developing the tests and what you know is to be the cowboy dressage competitions. And so you will have all three of them presenting a clinic and lectures. And all three of them will be critiquing and helping and building the writers over the weekend. So, and these guys are good, and they work together really well. So that's why we call it a power clinic, with the schedules we have to get them all three together in one place so that everyone can benefit from them is quite a treat.
And you know, Colorado is kind of a very central to a lot of states. And
right.
We got a huge already reply to that clinic. People from Kansas, Texas, Nebraska, probably Wyoming from the other side of the border, New Mexico. So Colorado for us was kind of a gathering. It'd be almost like the second gathering next to California. And
uh-huh.
From there, we have to move a little bit north. Maybe Tennessee. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
now.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask. As far as the agenda, of course, you'll have the seminars on Friday night. Then what will Saturday and Sunday look like?
Well, it's looked like a very, very much intense 2 days. You know, clinics. You try to put in 2 days what you earn in 50 years, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hard to really blend together a program that everybody get a lot, because I really believe that clinic is a place not to learn that much, but to be inspired. And what
mm-hmm.
it means is that you sit there and you want to take home something very small, very little, but it's something that will stick with you and with your horse for the rest of your life. And we'll try to get everyone who come to that place, to that clinic, to go home and carry something with him for the rest of his life. And we did it before, and we're going to do it again. So one day, I think the first day, it's going to be more kind of a, what's the maneuvers of the test, the application, all the little details which can make you ride a better ride. And the next day, we probably can ride the test, meaning that we're going to see how well we kind of understand, or how well the horses took that and make something out of it. I want to tell you another thing, that the tests of the cabo dressage are really designed to fit the Western horse. And when Deb said at the beginning, you know, it's a 20 by 40, it's not a 20 by 60 meter, just to give your audience an idea, 20 by 40 is about 60-something feet by 130 feet. It's not big thing, but it's a pretty good real estate. Not too many
mm-hmm.
people have in their backyard area bigger than that to ride their horses.
Right.
And so we really were thinking a lot how we can do really well for the Western horse to accomplish the mission that we try to accomplish, and that's make him a better horse and make the rider a better rider. And I think coming to that clinic is going to make you both, make your horse better, make you better, and the best thing about all, we're going to all have fun.
Oh, that's great. Now, people will be able to come and participate with their horse in the clinic, and will folks be able to audit the clinic as well?
Absolutely. It's a matter of fact, the auditing is free. There is no
oh,
charge
wow.
for it. And
uh-huh.
We're expecting a huge number of people. We got involved a little bit with other states that they're going to send like people to come and see, check the air and tires, see what we're doing. And I really think that it's going to be a big one.
That's great. Now, go ahead, Debbie.
One of the things that I want to be sure to mention is that if you are going to come as an auditor, if you can RSVP, that would be really helpful, so we're a little more prepared.
And bring a chair.
Okay. Now, the contact person, is that Leslie Sutherland?
Right.
All right. And I'm going to take just a minute and give an email address for Leslie, as well as a phone number. And if I get this wrong, just correct me, but I believe it's cowboydressageofcolorado@gmail.com. cowboydressageofcolorado@gmail.com. And I believe the phone number is 303-366-8558.
That's so exactly right.
Okay, everybody's scattering to get a pen, but that was 303-366-8558. And you can go to Cowboy Dressage on Facebook, and, and that information is going to be there as well. And I would assume that also would be at Cowboy Dressage of Colorado on Facebook to get that information too. So it sounds like that is going to be a great 3 days of information and learning and enlarging your community of horse folks that come out for that. Also, and don't want to forget this, but you eight will be in Moose Jaw, and I'll try to pronounce this, Saskatchewan.
Boy, you're good.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, you're doing a clinic there, and that is this weekend, July 11th through the 13th. So that's Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and I'm going to give a contact information for that. That's Kim, and that's at skcowboydressage@gmail.com. skcowboydressage@gmail.com, and that is this weekend at Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. So for our listeners that are in Canada, put that on your weekend event schedule to make an appearance for that as well.
Number 306-539-5944. That's for Kim.
Okay. 306-539-5944. And right. And you can talk with Kim in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And that
right.
just sounds like a place that you'd want to visit, to have a city named Moose Jaw. So
And the weather is going to be on a low 80, so it's pretty good.
Oh
wow.
Yeah, that will be great. That will be great. Well, anything else coming up that we need to be aware of that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, you want to touch a little bit about the light hand?
Yeah, let's do that, because we have three folks with us that were there. And first of all, for folks that may not be familiar with the Light Hands Horsemanship Clinic, this was your eighth year.
Yeah.
I want to ask, what was the purpose for doing this?
A group of us went to Brazil, and while we were sitting in the airport at São Paulo waiting for us to return home, we had gone over there to do clinics and a horse expo. And Dr. Robert Miller, Eitan, Lester Buckley, Rick Lamb, and John Ensign. And we discussed, and Art Perry, who was a friend of ours that went along just to join us on the trip. And we discussed how we were going fit the idea. Well, let me rethink this. We wanted to do something different. Instead of going to see one clinician at an expo, we decided to take multiple clinicians and take you from early learning with Dr. Miller up to colt starting with John Ensign, up to the more advanced horse with Lester Buckley, and then to the very advanced horse with Eitan, and have Rick Lamb MC the event. And it took you in a progression through multiple days. We started it as a two-day clinic. So there was a progression of horsemanship. And it was built on kindness, soft feel, and natural horsemanship. And then we decided to throw in great over-the-top food, really good vendors, and singing. Marianne has joined us and provides us with great entertainment and company each year. and it becomes quite an event. And it is was held, or it's been held, at Intrepid Farms in San Ynez, right near Santa Barbara on the coast in California. It is a private estate. And so the atmosphere is very welcoming, very warm, and we call it up close and personal. And we only allow 200 people through the gates, and it's completely catered. There's only one clinic going on at a time, so you only have to be in one place. It's centrally located on the property, and it's just, it's become another gathering. And we have people come from all over the world. We have 10 to 14 countries come every year.
Oh, wow.
In the country. So it's become quite a deal.
It's absolutely, I'm gonna interject. It just is, there's nothing like it. People say, well, what's the difference? Is it a clinic? Do people come and ride? It's like, no, there's nothing like it. The gathering, this gathering of this level horsemanship in one four-day event and in one place is just, there's nothing else like it.
No, and you know, mm-hmm. Marianne, too, when you say the level of horsemanship, besides Eitan, Dr. Miller, Lester Buckley, John Ensign, and Rick Lamb, we have added Cowgirl Hall of Fame Sheila Varian, legend
man.
Jack Brainerd, and famed horseman Richard Winters.
Yeah.
What a lineup.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Well, it's an unbelievable lineup, and everyone is such a wonderful, that's the other thing. Everybody's fun. They're there for the love of the horse, number one. The love of, you know, embracing like-minded horsemen, number two. And, I mean, what's not to love? I mean, it's just a
There's
class,
a lot of laughs going
day.
On, isn't there, Marianne?
Lots of it's about, because for me, and again, it's why I never got into, to quote, competition and showing. But now I am so attracted to this movement. We've got to talk more on the side to Deb about how to get you here in Tennessee. I'd love to help figure something out. So we'll talk about that.
And we'll do that.
Because there are so many people who would just embrace this and love this. It would just enhance their lives. And it's not going to a, quote, horse show. And again, that was always my, you know, I don't want to go show. That's why I've been such a passionate student, and I love the clinics, and I love learning and riding the clinics. But this is just the best of both worlds. But you don't know, I guess, about Light Hands 2015. That's still yet to be announced Light Hands will be held next year, right, Deb?
We're possibly changing our location, and we're not sure, but there's a strong possibility we will be changing our location. And our event sponsor, Spalding Labs, Tom Spalding, is actually going to be out next week looking at various locations across the country, one in Nebraska and one in Washington. And we will make a decision by mid-fall where it's going to be. Now, depending on the location, could change the dates, which are usually the end of May. But if we're getting, depending on where the location is, the dates may change because of weather. So we'll have an answer for you here fall.
Well,
people asking. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just put a plug in for the eastern part of the country. Because we have some pretty nice weather and some pretty nice facilities out here, and Cowboy Dressage is growing back here in the east as well, and we do have a lot to offer folks when they come back here. So that's my two cents, so you can just pass that on to Tom while he's looking.
Well, Marianne, you got a real good connection. You might bring that up with Mr. Spalding. And so
yes, I plan on it. So we'll be discussing that. In fact, I just emailed him the other day about that. So yes, and again, holding a truly cowboy dressage clinic, or as you say, the super clinic, or whatever you called it, the 3-day, and that, and I just have to say, once again, it's just the reflection of you guys' intention is just in the scheduling of the event, and having a group trail ride on the 3rd day. Wow. Talk about putting practice to purpose and joy. It's about joy. And I love it. High five to you guys. This is just going to take
the
world
by
storm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me do a couple of more plugs in here real quickly.
Okay.
As we're starting to run out of some time. Cowboydressage.com. is the website, and so we want to really encourage folks to go visit the website. It's a great website. It has a ton of information. You can look at the patterns. You can look at video. It's just a tremendous website with a ton of information on there for folks that might be interested. Also, visit Facebook, and that's Cowboy Dressage would be the place to start there. And I guess, does Cowboy World have a Facebook page too?
Yes.
Cowboy Dressage
Cowboy
World?
Cowboy Dressage World has a webpage, and that's cowboydressageworld.com. And that's where you're going to go. As we have our horse shows that Cowboy Dressage World produces, that is where you enter and get your information.
Okay. All right, so
fully you can just click on any state Facebook and you can get a local information about the local activity.
Okay, all right, so do that, and we're going to do a plug for Mary Ann Kennedy, and that's maryannkennedy.com, and that's Mary Ann's website. And right now, I want to mention that there's a tremendous opportunity. She's got a box stall set 5-CD package that you can order on the website, and when you do that, you'll also get one special CD. Yeah, that's a new term. Spaulding Labs has made available a CD with 11 songs, I think, on that. Is that right, Mary Ann?
Right, Tom's favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got that CD, and it is wonderful.
Okay, all right. So visit maryannkennedy.com and check out that box stall set 5 CDs, and you get an extra 6 CD to go along with that as well. So we want to make sure that we cover some of those things. We want to remind you about the Power Clinic in Colorado that's coming up the 25th through the 27th in Nunn, Colorado, and check out the Facebook page of both For Colorado and Cowboy Dressage for information there. And then this weekend in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and I said it again, 8, so I got that out okay, July 11th through the 13th, and they have a Facebook page as well, so you can get more information there also. But 8, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience today?
Well, I'm just trying to pronounce Saskatchewan. I did it. Saskatchewan.
Oh, that's great. Next you'll be singing.
Final thought is I really appreciate you guys, both of you, Marianne and Gary, for what
you
do for the horse industry or for the horse people, and special for us, you know, Cabo Dressage and the light-end horsemanship. And we should do that more often. I think that... it's kind of bring the best of us, you know, and, you know, we can keep it in our mind, but it's not belong there. It's belong to everybody else. So
right.
I really appreciate you spreading a good thing around, and we just hope to see more of you guys joining hand and creating something wonderful. And I thank you again for doing this.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Debbie, anything that you want to add to that? Debbie,
just
anything you want to add?
Just go ride and really enjoy.
Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Happy trails. Well, that's great.
For you.
Well, that's great.
There you
that's
go.
Great. Well, keep going.
Adore the word. Happy trails. Come on, everybody.
Anyway. You.
Keep smiling on to them.
Oh, smile. Da-da, da-da.
Yeah. Okay,
you know,
well, that's the...
It's never sounded quite the same with that accent. I love
right.
it.
Right.
It really won't. Well, I will tell you. My dad was a horse lover forever, and on his tombstone, that's what you'll see there, and that's an image of a bear and a colt,
wow.
and happy trails to you till we meet again.
Really?
So, yeah. So that song means a lot to me. Well, listen, I want to thank very much Tom Bethelacme and Debbie for joining us on the show today. Great information. You're fantastic people. And just a pleasure to talk with. And thank you for what you're doing for the horse world in really connecting people and their horses and encouraging that soft feel that folks should have when they enjoy their animals. So thank you so much for joining us. And Mary Ann Kennedy, you are always a pleasure to talk with, and thank you for what you do and for the joy that you bring us with your music, and you're just a great gal. So I'm
well,
glad
thank
to call
you, Gary, and thank you too for all you do and are doing. Your show is growing like crazy. The outreach is just getting bigger and bigger, and thank you for helping the horses and helping us.
Well, thanks so much. I want to close the song and close the show with this song. And Marianne, tell me about this real quick. This is It All Starts Here. You wrote this for Dr. Robert Miller, I think.
Yeah.
Right. This was a tribute song for Dr. Bob, and it's a tribute to his concept of one of the biggest gifts he's brought to the horse world in his lifetime is the concept of imprinting. And so Tom Spaulding and I were kind of in cahoots on this project, and we presented 2 years ago at Light Hands, we presented Dr. Miller with the surprise of this song and a wonderful video to go with it. And there's more to come on this. This song is available download only through my website. And, yes, here's to Dr. Miller, and thanks for playing this, Gary.
Well, thank you, and thank the three of you again for joining us on the show. We want to remind our listeners that Equestrian Legacy Radio is live every Thursday at noon Central Standard Time. And as always, we remind you that if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Every breed and every color, a beautiful beginning. A medicine man recognized that early bonding changed lives. It all starts here with a touch. Them to trust, they'll understand. I'm a friend who will be there till the end. I promise to last through the years, and it all starts here. Trails together, and you can count on me to be your loyal leader. The best is yet to be, and in those times when you're afraid, I'll do what I did that first. It all starts here.
Here.